Okay, good morning, everybody. I've enjoyed being here so far. I'm going to write the title on the board here. Does anybody know who said this? Died Abner as a fool dieth. Solomon? David. You're right. It was David. That's right. So died Abner as a fool dieth. You can turn, we're not quite ready for this yet, but you can turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 2. It's where most of our verses are going to be out of this morning's chapter 2 and 3. So died Abner as a fool dieth. Abner was the commander of an army. Before we get into the story, though, a couple things we want to think about. If you died right now, okay, boom, this was over. Your life ended, you quit breathing, you dropped over dead in your chair, okay? And God came and stood behind this pulpit and said one sentence about your life. What would he say? What would he say? If God could say one word about your life, what would he say? Not what we hope he would say, or not what we wish he would say, but what would he say? Because God's honest and God does not lie. What would God say about your life? And God didn't say this, but David said it. It was a testimony of Abner. What would he say? Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 2, just for sake of time, because there would be too much reading here. We could occupy way too much time here, but we're just going to skip over some of this. But David is king over Judah. The nation of Israel is split into two different kingdoms right now. David is king over Judah. And I think you pronounce his name Ishbosheth, which is Saul's son, is king over Israel. And Joab, these are a couple names you want to remember, Joab and Abner. Okay, Joab was David's commander of his army, and Abner was Ishbosheth's commander of his army. So you want to remember those two names, Joab and Abner. Okay, and they're fighting. Joab and Abner's armies are fighting each other. And so let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. This just gives us a little bit of a setting of where we're at. So chapter 2, verse 12 through 24. And Abner, the son of Ner, the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now arise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught everyone his fellow by the head and thrust his sword in his fellow's side, so they fell down together. Wherefore that place was called Hilketh Hazrom, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, Abishai, and Aziel. And Aziel was as light on foot as a roe. And Aziel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Aziel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to the right hand or to the left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor." But Aziel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Aziel, "Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?" Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner with the hinder end of the spear smote him under the fifth rib, and that spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Aziel fell down and died stood still. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner. Okay, we'll quit reading there. So Joab and Abner are at battle, okay? And they meet at this pool. And I don't know what all the thought process was, but just in my own words, they said, let's each choose 12 men. Let's have them go out and fight, and maybe we can have a victory today. And I don't know if that was the thought pattern or not, but it seems like that's what happened. And these 12 men, they all went out to fight. It says they all grabbed each other by the head, thrust their sword in their side, and all fell down dead. So there was no victory. 24 men dead right there. No victory. So Abner and Joab are still at battle, and there's no victory being won. This is just a setting for where we're at. So Aziel, which is Joab's brother, he says he could run really fast, okay? Now, I'd be in trouble if somebody was pursuing me that could run really fast, because it wouldn't take him long to catch me, okay? And that was Abner's problem, too. Abner couldn't run as fast as Aziel. Aziel was chasing him, pursuing him, and Abner said, Aziel must not have had any armor on. I don't know what he was planning to do when he caught Abner. Maybe he had a sword. I don't know what he was planning to do with him. Probably kill him in some shape or form. But Abner said, Aziel, you need to turn aside and get some armor on. And he said, in my own words, he said, we're going to fight like men, you know, because I can slay you right now. You need to get some armor on, which I thought was kind of merciful. Tell him this. And Aziel would not stop pursuing him. So Abner, I don't know how he did it, but somehow it says with the hinder end of his spear, he struck him from the back, like behind him, and it went right underneath Aziel's fifth rib, and he dropped over dead. Bloody battle. So Aziel is dead. Remember, Aziel was Joab's brother. Okay, you following me so far? I'm not trying to go too fast, but we don't have time to go too slow either. So Aziel's dead, and Joab and Abner, they kind of came to a peace treaty. We're not going to read all that in the rest of chapter 2 there. Moving on to chapter 3, just a little bit of history here in chapter 3. Ishbosheth, for some reason or the other, I don't know why, but he accused Abner of taking one of Saul's concubines. Remember, Ishbosheth was Saul's son. He accuses Abner of taking one of Saul's concubines. It makes Abner mad. Okay? I think most of us would be mad if somebody accused us of taking somebody else's wife and we didn't. It made him mad. He was also realizing, as stated in chapter 2, that Abner's forces were being beat. You know, David's and Joab's forces were much stronger. So Abner comes to David and he says, David, you know, I realize that you're king. You should just be king over the whole nation of Israel. And he said, if we can make a treaty here, I will do my best to bring all that are following Ishbosheth to your kingdom and to be your servants, and you can reign over everyone. So David says, yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't we do this? I mean, I think most kings would say that's a good idea. He's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do this. And so he sends Abner out to do this task. So let's go to chapter 3, verse 24. It says, then Joab came to the king and said, what hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away? And he is quite gone. Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, to know thy going out and thy coming in, and know all that thou doest. So stop there just a second. Joab is very angry. Why do you think Joab's angry? Who was paying attention? Why do you think Joab's angry at Abner? The blood of his brother. That's right. Abner killed Aziel, his brother. I think most of us would struggle with some feelings in a situation like that. Abner killed Aziel, his brother. Okay, let's stop and look at history here just a little bit. In the Old Testament, there was what they called the Avenger of Blood. Okay? The Avenger of Blood. The Avenger of Blood had the right, in this situation, the Avenger of Blood would have been Joab, because he was closest, Joab and Abishai, because they were both Aziel's brothers. So they were closest of kin to him, and they had the right to kill the person who slew their brother. And it was totally legal by the law. I mean, they could kill him without charge because he slew his brother. So he was the Avenger of Blood, okay? So Joab and Abishai are the Avenger of Blood. Okay, let's keep reading here, verse 26. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sire, and David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Aziel his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Okay, so Joab calls Abner back to the city of Hebron, and he slew him right outside of the city gate. Okay, who knows your history? What was important about the city of Hebron? It was a city of refuge. That's right. There were six cities throughout the nation of Israel and Judah that were cities of refuge. What was a city of refuge? Anybody know what a city of refuge was? It was a safe place. That's right. So Abner, because he had slew Aziel, could flee to a city of refuge, okay? And I'm not sure. There was some trial process that went on and all of that. I'm not 100% sure how all that worked. But if they deemed it to be a guiltless cause, which I think they would have in this case because it was battle, if they deemed it to be a guiltless cause, Abner could have stayed inside the city of refuge and been safe. The Avenger of Blood had no legal right to come inside the city of refuge and slay him. So Joab calls Abner back. And I mean, he comes right to the city of refuge, right to the gate of the city. And Joab says, Abner, can't you just see Joab? He's like, hey, Abner, come over here. You know, I got something to say to you over here, okay? And Abner probably thinks Joab is going to praise him, because Joab is the commander of David's army. He probably thinks he's going to get praised, okay? Like, good job. You're taking over, you know, the whole kingdom for David. And man, a little slap on the shoulder he was probably expecting. All of a sudden, Joab kills him. Why? Because he was the Avenger of Blood. Okay, let's keep reading here. Let's move on. I lost my notes here. Let's move on to verse 32. It says, and they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. I think we'll quit reading there. Okay, so who can tell me, why did David say, died Abner as a fool dieth? What made him a fool? Don't overthink it. He was outside the city gates. That's right. The city of refuge. There was a city that he could have been safe inside of. He was close to the city. He probably, most likely, could see the city gate from where he died. He could probably hear the noises coming across the wall of the city. Maybe he could even hear conversations. And honestly, he probably was inside that city that day, because he talked to David, and David was in Hebron. So he probably most likely was inside the city of refuge that day. But where was he when he got killed? He was outside the city. He was close to it. He was hanging around it. But he was not inside the city. That's why he died as a fool dieth. So a little bit of history here on the city of refuge. So yeah, we talked about it that a person could flee there if they had been killed. There would be a trial given. And they were safe from the avenger of blood as long as they stayed inside the city of refuge. Once they stepped 1 foot outside the city, they could be slain by the avenger of blood. And they had to stay there until the high priest died. As long as they were inside the city, until the high priest died. Then once the high priest died, they were free to go out to live normal lives. And legally, the avenger of blood had no right to touch them. So if you got into the city of refuge, let's say you're, in our terms today, you're driving down the road, you kill somebody, you'd have to go to the city of refuge. And let's say, you know, the high priest dies 5 years after you're in there, then you're free to go out and live with your family, to live a normal life. The avenger of blood has no right to touch you. So what do you guys think? It would be pretty easy. In one sense, I think, you know, I would be scared to leave the city because I don't really want to die. So I'd be scared to leave the city. But in another sense, I think it'd be pretty easy also to get kind of bored inside the city and just kind of want to, you know, just step out. Like probably the avenger of blood isn't here today, right? I mean, most likely he's not just outside the city gate. Like, that would be kind of strange. I mean, he's got the whole nation of Israel to live in. Why would he be just outside the city gate? And it'd be easy to get a little lax, to just go out a little bit, just to experience the outside world. Ever heard that term before? Just to experience the outside world a little bit. It's dangerous territory. The outside world is danger zone. Brothers and sisters, do you put anything together between the city of refuge and our life today? What's our city of refuge today? Jesus Christ. That's right. You don't have to turn here, but Hebrews 6, part of 18 and part of 19. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. We have Jesus Christ today as our city of refuge. There's an avenger of blood for each of your souls. And you could look at that different ways, possibly. But today I want to look at it as the judgment that you rightfully deserve as a sinner, as the avenger of blood for your soul. Each of us rightfully deserve judgment. There's nothing we can do about it. We were born that way. We rightfully deserve judgment. Our city of refuge is Jesus Christ. We can be safe in Him and not have to fear the wrath of God that's coming because we're inside the safe haven. And the avenger of blood has no right to our soul because of Jesus Christ. But the minute we step outside of that, the minute we step 1 foot outside of the city of refuge, I understand there's mercy and there's grace, but for sake of illustration, when we intentionally walk away from God, we intentionally reject the blood of Jesus Christ, and we intentionally put Jesus out there and say, no, you cannot. We are outside of that city of refuge. We can hang around it. We can come to church every Sunday. We can be right inside the doors. We can be, now in Abner's situation, if he'd have been inside the city, he'd have been safe. But the church is not the city of refuge. It's Jesus Christ. I hope that most of us here are living inside that city of refuge, but the church is not the city of refuge. It's Jesus Christ. The church can't take you to heaven. What about the high priest? Our high priest died for us. Remember? If you were inside the city and the high priest died, you were free. Free to go out and live. Brothers and sisters, our high priest has died for us. Jesus Christ. He's died for us. And we don't have to. Does that mean we don't have to live inside of Him now? No, that's not the case. But we have freedom to walk in newness of life. We have freedom to walk in peace and in joy. We have freedom to serve Him It's freedom in Christ. Just like I can imagine if you lived inside that city, say for 20 or 30 years, and the high priest died, it would feel good to be able to go out and to maybe live with your family, more of your extended family again, and to do your job maybe, whatever. You know, it would feel good to be able to do that. It's the same way in Jesus Christ. We have freedom to live for him. Question again. I said this, asked this question already, but if God could write a sentence on the board about your life, what would he write? What would he write? Died Nate, died Noah, died Victor, died Aaron, as a what? I trust it wouldn't be as a fool. I trust it wouldn't be. But it's a question we need to consider. Where are we living? What are we doing? Matthew 7, you don't have to turn here, but 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's the answer. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, Abner could have had his whole long bucket list of good things he done. I mean, he's like, man, why should I die? I'm coming to help the king. I'm coming to help God's anointed. By the way, wasn't David God's anointed? He was. Ishbosheth was not God's anointed. David was God's anointed. He's like, I'm coming. I'm doing the will of God. I'm trying to bring everybody to follow David. But he was not following the provisions made. And you know, you can be the most active person in the church all your life and miss heaven. You can clean the church every Sunday or every week. You can open and close the doors every week. You can lead singing. You can preach a sermon. But if you're outside the city of refuge, there's no hope. You're going to die as a fool dieth. If that's the life you're living, you can just cross out Abner and put your name right there. And that's what God will say about you. But if you're not living that, then you can cross out this word. If you're living for Jesus Christ, then you can cross out this. And you can write, as a faithful believer, that's bad B, but anyway, the faithful believer dies. That will be God's testimony of you. Died Eldon as a faithful believer dies. Died Paul as a faithful believer dies. Someone washed in the blood of the Lamb. Someone who is loving and serving me no matter what. Paul's testimony, and I realize we could all give a testimony of ourselves and we can make it sound pretty rosy, but I don't think Paul was doing that. Paul's testimony at the end of his life, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There's hope. There's rest for the believer. There's a crown of righteousness waiting for us, for those who die faithful, not as a fool, but for those who die faithfully, loving and serving God. Those who die in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But how do we die that way? We live that way. We live today that way. And then when the time comes to die, it's not a big deal. We just die. Yeah, go to meet Jesus. I understand we all want to live. I'm not trying to take away from that. So I leave you with the challenge. Are you inside of the city of refuge? Are you inside of that? There's so many good intentions out there. So many good intentions. We can have intentions to do this and to do that. And I mean, how many New Year's resolutions do you hear that never come to pass? You know, I'm going to lose weight this year. Yeah, right, you know, big as a blimp next year, you know. Like, doesn't work. Good intentions aren't going to cut it. But it does take a vision to change. It does take intentions to change. So let's consider our thoughts, actions, and deeds and see if they align with the Word of God. Because that's ultimately what we're going to be judged by, is the Word of God. And just wanted also to say this. I'm not trying to plant doubt in the believers' minds. Because on the other hand, we cannot live on our own strength. We cannot live good enough to please God. So if you're here and you're trying to serve God with all your heart, and you look back in your life, and yeah, there's some faults and there's some failures. I'm not trying to put doubt in your mind. I'm not trying to put false accusation in your mind. I've struggled with that in my life. And that's not a good place to be. I'm not trying to put doubt in your mind. If you're loving and serving God, Jesus is your city of refuge. And yes, when he convicts your heart, change those things. But don't live in doubt and fear that you might not be good enough. So I think I'm going to quit there. But just encourage each one of us. Let's abide in Christ. And that way, when God, because someday God will give his testimony of us. It's not a question of if. Someday he will give his testimony of us. And what will he say?